Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise for this morning. We thank you because you are a good God. Thank you because you are a covenant-keeping God. We give you praise and glory because we know that we are here for another moment of encounter. We thank you for your work that you have already begun in our midst. We say, blessed be the name of the Lord in Jesus' name. We declare that as your word comes for today, it will be unhindered by any outside force in the name of Jesus. That this word will penetrate the hearts of a people to bring about a great transformation. We declare that in the name of Jesus, every negative force is hereby put on hold and they're cast out from this atmosphere in the name of Jesus. Let light be and let your name be glorified. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church once again. You're welcome to the hour of transformation. Amen. So this morning again, we are set to hear from God, and I want you to prepare your hearts to receive the light that God is set to send into our hearts once again. You must know that whenever you come to church, you come not just to fulfill a ritual. You come because there is something that God has to say to you that has the power, the capacity to change and to transform your life. Like I would always tell us, never come to church casually because you feel this is what you should do every Sunday or every Wednesday. You should come to church with expectations. Come to church hoping to receive from God what He has to say to you, what He has to do in your life. The Word of God is powerful. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 6, that the Word of God is as a double-edged sword that pierces into the bones and to the marrows, into the heart. The Bible says it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart of a man. What is this passage trying to tell us? Is that the Word of God is powerful enough to go into your life and cause a change and a transformation that you have so desired for a long time. Whenever you come before God, you must know that the Word of God is what gives creative ability, creative expression to everything around us. So when you come to church, you must know that God can create something out of the word that is being spoken to us. You should come to church today and know that when you are living as a changed person. You should come to church knowing that when you are going back, you are not returning back as the same person that entered into the church. Like I would always tell us, if you pay attention to all that God has to say to you in this house, and you go along with the process, there is no way that you will not grow in your spiritual journey unless you are a lazy or you are a student that is not paying attention to what God is doing or standing amidst. Everything that is being taught here is packaged methodically to ensure that you are growing as a believer. So the Word of God is not only coming here alone to give you things that you need, but the Word of God is coming to ensure that you are looking like the portrait of who a believer is. You are looking like the portrait of who God has ordained you to become. So never trivialize, never casualize what is happening to you when you come to church to hear God's word, number one. Never casualize or never trivialize what you are hearing that has the ability to change your life and make you better when you come in here week in, week out. Under God will bring everything that is necessary for you to grow as a believer, but it is your duty, number one, to pay attention, and number two, to go back and be doers of the word that you are hearing. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's the charge for us to be able to pay attention to what you have come to do whenever you are in church. Whenever you're in church, there's a portrait every member of this church should look like.
if only you joined this church in January of 2025 and you pick everything that this church has had to offer from January till date, I can guarantee you that you are not on the same level as every other believer out there who is not paying attention to their growth. I can guarantee you that. There are 2 to 3 things that is necessary that every believer be taught as they begin to walk and the journey in their believer's walk. Number one, they must learn how to walk with the Holy Spirit. And we have paid attention to teaching you that from the beginning of this year in every of our midweek services. It is not my fault you don't know. It's because you didn't come to church on Wednesdays. We have nothing less than 12 to 16 teachings on the Holy Spirit alone this year. Every month, okay, from February till date, you have been teaching on the Holy Spirit. So you should have nothing less than 12 package sermons. So you have no excuse whatsoever to say you don't know how to work with the Holy Spirit, or if the Holy Spirit is not doing something in your life. The second that is must be taught to every believer is how to walk by faith, for them to have a productive Christian journey. How to walk by faith. We'll be coming into that in the month of July. How we can take hold of the overflow. What am I trying to tell us today is that if only all you have taken in from the beginning of this year up until today are those things that you have taught, I can guarantee if you pay attention to them and you are a doer of those words, you cannot have a normal Christian life. This church is not packaged so that everyone will come to church and become an ordinary member. Something should shift in your life. Last week I started on the subject of Hello Tomorrow, the gift of sight. And today I'm going to be going into the part 2 of that sermon so that I can finish up and tie up some of the things that is left to be taught on that subject. Hello Tomorrow, the gift of sight. Joshua chapter 1, we'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 4, and then we'll go to chapter 13 and we'll be reading verse 1. Bless us, Holy Spirit. Joshua chapter 1, we're reading from verse 1 to 4. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land I am giving to them, the children of Israel. I'm going to read it again as it is coming to my spirit. Now, therefore, you children of Higher Ground Baptist Church, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Higher Ground Baptist Church. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, or to additional beginning, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. I say to you, every member of Higher Ground Baptist Church, the city of refuge, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Samson, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you, saith the Lord of hosts. Say better, amen. Amen. Joshua chapter 13, number 1. Keep that word in your spirit. That's God's word to you that will empower you as you go forth, knowing that no one will be able to stand before you as you go forth in this week. For the rest of this year, no one is able to stand before your business. Amen. No evil is able to stand before your family. Amen. No power of hell, no scheme of man will stand against your destiny. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed. Let's hold on that thought. Chapter 1, Moses had died, and the Lord raised up Joshua. Says, you are going to be taken up from where my servant Moses stopped from. So God began to work upon the mind of Joshua, because Joshua saw the kind of shoe that Moses left behind, and his heart failed, or his heart began to fail him. Because looking at what Moses had done, and looking at where God was telling him that he's going to get to, this is so big. God had to come in to help Joshua, and he said, see, I will give you every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and he continued mentioning those places. So there was a promise of God to Joshua regarding the territory he was supposed to conquer. God had given him the scope of his destiny. Because like I told you last week, God comes to paint pictures on our minds of the possibilities available to us. That was what we looked at last week, the gift of sight, that you must sustain a higher level, a higher position in the spirit, for you to be able to see where God is taking you to. So God had helped Joshua. He was painting the picture on his mind to see the possibilities that were available. And God told Joshua, be courageous. Don't be weak. You need courage to take these possessions. Fast forward about, say, 40 years down the line. Maybe more, maybe less, but in that category. God came again to Joshua and said, Joshua, you are now old and well stricken in age. And there is still much land to be conquered. What was God trying to tell Joshua? Is that in the scope of what I gave you to do, you have done your bit, but you have not fulfilled all. That means there was a possibility for Joshua to have conquered all the land. But because of his age, he was already old, well advanced in years. The possibility of covering those lands and conquering them had become reduced. I pray this will not be your lot. That all that God has ordained for you upon the face of the earth, none shall be left undone in the name of Jesus. Hello tomorrow, the gift of sight. Your tomorrow is great, but it takes some principles that you must be able to possess them. To possess them. So last week we looked at number one, that you must get into high vantage points, which we liken to the place of prayer, for you to be able to see what your tomorrow looks like. Some of you are afraid because you have not seen what tomorrow looks like for you, so you are afraid. Will I be great? Will my life turn out better? And we thank God because God worked upon our sight. We began to see better from last week. So I continue on that. Number two, how can you see your tomorrow correctly? Number two, through the study and the meditation upon God's word. The study and the meditation of God's word. Psalm 119, we'll be reading verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. Are we there in our Bibles? Are we there? Psalm 119 and verse 18. says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. There is a tendency that people can read the Bible and all they find in the Bible are stories. There's a tendency for you to read the Bible and all you find in the Bible was how men were killed, of how men migrated from one city to the other, of how Jesus died. And it is all just looking like stories to you. But there's a level that you would enter in your reading and study of the Word of God that you will begin to see things beyond the ordinary. Every time you read the Bible, there are things written on the lines of the Bible. There are things written between the lines of the Bible. In reading and studying of the Bible, there is the Logos. The Logos is the written word, the word you can read and interpret with your normal mind. But then there's other part called the Rhema, which is the breath of God coming upon the word that you have written. So the psalmist said, open my eyes that I can behold wonderful things out of your law. For you to be able to see correctly the portrait of your tomorrow, if you don't look at it in the world will define what your tomorrow looks like. If you don't look at your tomorrow from the lens of the world will define what your tomorrow will look like. Some of us, the picture that we have about our lives and our future is what our friends have spoken to us about. The picture that we have about our tomorrow is how our family looks like and our background. The picture we have about our tomorrow is the way our parents turned out after they have lived their life to probably 50 or 60 or 70. And that's all the picture that you have about your tomorrow. But let me bring it to your notice today and remind you that they are not the true reflection of what your future looks like. The pain and poverty that you have experienced is not a true picture of what your future looks like. For you to know how your future looks like, you must go back to the manual. You must go back to the screen where God has painted a portrait of His picture concerning your life. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the thoughts and the plans that I have towards you. Can you put it on the screen? Thoughts of good. Of good and not of evil. So, whatever people say does not matter if you can behold the wondrous things that are in the law of the Lord concerning your life. Some of you pay too much attention to what social media is saying. You pay too much attention to what your friends is saying over and above what the Word of God has to say about your life. The Bible shows us pictures and portraits of people who had little to no opportunity at all, but they rose to become change makers in their generations. What did they hold on to? They held on to the word that said that they were the head and not the tail. That was the kind of indoctrination that they give to Jewish children. That wherever you go, remember this word that the Bible, that God said to us, that whosoever blessed you is blessed and whosoever cursed you is cursed. Wherever you go, you shall be the head and not the tail. This is the kind of mindset that the Jewish people give to their children while growing up. So they don't grow up with an inferiority complex. They don't grow up with a mindset of failure. They grow up knowing that it is impossible for them to fail. Where did they get that from? From the word. The reason some of you are easily intimidated, easily pushed aside is because you have not come to an understanding of who you are or who God has created you to be. And you cannot find that from anywhere, not even from the mouth of the preacher, unless you go back and search from the word of God. Say, open my eyes that I can behold wondrous things in the law of the Lord. You can go back to the Bible and find your name written and find what God has said about you written. Even if your name is Chidinma, you may not find Chidinma written there, but I tell you that one day in your adventure trying to search out what the Bible has to say about you, if you are great enough, one day the Holy Ghost will accost you on the way, and then he will lift the scripture and he will show you and say, this is the portrait of what I want your life to look like. The problem is some of us don't even bother going back into the manual. This is the perfect picture of what my life looks like. The word of God. The word of God. There's a point that as you read and you study the Bible, you will stumble upon a particular scripture, and that scripture will explode in your heart. It will open up in your heart. Because you see, it's like a drilling machine. As you keep drilling, you keep getting deeper. One day, as you drill and drill and drill, one day you will touch the oil in the ground and you'll be made for life. And you will be made for life. Bishop Oyedepo said that how did he know that he can never be poor again? How did he know he can never be poor again? He was studying the Bible. He had been reading it before, but one day he read it again, and it was as though he had never read it. Since by his stripes I am healed. He said that he took his poverty, that through his poverty I will become rich. Jesus already became poor for me. Why should I be poor ever again? And then he said, I can never be poor again. I can never be poor again. You can see the wonders that the Lord is wrought through him, building things that people are traveling from all over the world to come and begin to look. What is this wonder that this man is building in a nation called Nigeria? In a nation where things are not working, they are living in an economy that is different from the one that is in Nigeria and in Africa. They are living on heaven's economy. The ark that they are building, the money has been supplied on ground, the biggest edifice in the world that can contain the largest amount of people at a go. And before they started, the whole sum was already on ground. What happened? Revelation light came out from the word of God. I can never be poor again. I was struggling with my academics. And then, as I read the Bible, I stumbled upon the portion that says, but you know that you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. So Samson, I have the mind of Christ. It means to me that my mind should function in a way that is beyond the ordinary. It means that when I attend my academics, I cannot fail again. So I have the mind of Christ. That scripture exploded in my mind. I cannot fail again. I can never fail. Whatever the adventure is, whatever the discourse is, I cannot fail again. That is what happens when the Bible is open to you, not just when you are reading through the pages. A veil will need to be taken away, then you will see. The letter killeth, but it is the Spirit that giveth light. Find grace to go back to the Word of God and study the Word of God. Jeremiah said, I found your word and I did eat them. I did eat them. I did eat them. And they were the rejoicing of my heart. For everyone that wants to say hello to their tomorrow, give your future a handshake. Your future is on the pages of the Word of God. It's not even in your uncle who has promised you a job. What if that uncle dies at your graduation time? What if he dies? Has your hope gone without your uncle? See, if God has given you what is meant for your life and destiny, and you are not taking hold of it, God is not responsible. Some of us will come to God and will cry and will cry and will cry before God. And God is saying to you, see, I am not going to reinvent something for you. What I have promised you is already on the pages of the Bible. Just take your time to read it. There's this particular story that whenever I remember it, I always want to share with people because, you see, it just portrays what I've been trying to say. There was this particular woman who was a maid in a house. Can't remember where I heard the story from. She was a maid in the house. And very, very faithful. But this couple had no children. They had no children. But this maid was faithful every time. She was always doing the work, doing the work, doing the work. At a certain point, and the family that she was working with was very, very rich. At a certain point in time, they died. But the husband and the wife died. And it was just left alone with this woman in the house. So after their death, she just began to eat. At least there was food in the house. So he got a certain point in time, the food got depleted at home and he got exhausted. And she began to suffer. She was lean. She was suffering. And then one day, people began to ask, you serve these people almost all your life. Didn't they live like, I mean, they have vast estates. They have a lot of things. Why are you suffering like this? Say, so, well, they died. They left nothing for me, just this house. And they were asking the question, didn't these people leave anything for you? He said, no, it's just this house. You served them all your life, but nothing. This woman was already getting lean, nothing to hold on to again. So this woman was already in penury. All she asked herself was the house, no food. She was already getting older. Where would she start working from and start saying she wants to start earning money at that age of her life? There was nothing else for her to say that she wanted to do. So, as this woman was preparing to move out of the house, probably to go back to the village or something, I can't remember the exact place of that story, they began to dust all of the things that the woman left behind. And then, as they were doing that, they picked a frame from the wall. And then they gave it to the woman. Okay, I remember now. They asked, so did these people leave anything for you? He said, they didn't leave anything for me. So the people asked me, so what exactly? He said, but when they were about to die, they said, out of everything in this frame on the wall, we leave it to you. That was the exact story. This frame on the wall is yours. They said, all they left for me in this house was just this frame. So they went there and they picked the frame. Like, okay, woman, this is all that you have. And then when they looked at the frame on the wall, they found that it was the will of those couples who had died. And written on the will, we bequeath the whole of our riches and inheritance and estates to this woman for a service worthy to our family. So the food of this woman was hanging on the wall. She never knew. A house was hanging on the wall. She never knew. Because you see, ignorance can keep you in poverty. Not because something has not been allocated to you, but because you are ignorant on the fact that those things have been allocated to you. So this one had access to everything, every of the wealth of these people that they left behind. Yet she was living in lack and penury until that saving grace. So somebody said, what did they leave for you? All she thought she had was a frame, but in that frame was everything those people had. That's the way some believers are living their life today. That in the word of God, your healing is there. In the word of God, what you make you prosperous is there. In the word of God, what you make roads open for you is there. In the word of God, what you bring out fish from the river for you is there. But then because you are ignorant, you are not able to take hold of it. So the psalmist said, open down my eyes, that I can behold wonderful things out of your law. There are so many wonderful things in the Bible, but then if you don't know it, how can you lay possession to it? That's why you must be a student of God's word. John chapter 1 and verse 23. John chapter 1 and verse 23. Before I read that place, what does it mean for you to meditate upon God's word? The word meditate comes from the word to mutter. It means to mutter, meaning that it's a Jewish practice that they will take the scripture and then they will begin to say it over and over again. Over and over again, until that word becomes life in their heart and is something that they now know that this is their reality. It means to mutter over and over again. Sometimes when you find the word of God that is meant for you, you will take them and you will keep speaking them. You will keep speaking them. You will keep speaking them until that thing will enter your heart. And now you know every time you feel afraid, that word will jump at you because now that word has entered your heart. Don't just read the Bible for reading's sake. Read the Bible because inside of it, there are treasures that can be found. Inside of it, there is life. There is all that you need for life and for destiny. Inside the Word of God. Your success in your academics is in the Bible. John chapter 1, verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. So they came to ask John the Baptist, who are you? Really? Who are you? Who are you? So they asked him, are you the Christ? He said, I am not the Christ. Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not Elijah. He said, are you the prophet? He said, I am not the prophet. And he said, okay, so tell us, who are you? And his response was not that God showed me. His response was that the person that I am came from the scripture. Says, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. He was quoting the prophecy of Isaiah over 400 years before he was born. Over 400 years. Over 400 years. When God was writing the Bible, he had you in mind. He had you in mind. There's a story of the particular lady. I've shared it here before. That the lady had an accident. And then when they went to the hospital, the doctor said they will have to cut her leg off. The lady was spinning. She said, ah, God, they will cut my leg. And they said, ah, God, there must be a winner. And then she began to read the Bible. And she was reading the Bible. And when the day of the surgery was coming closer, when they will cut off the leg, as the story went, that as she was reading the Bible, she got to the place where it was said in the book of Psalms, and you will not allow my foot to be moved. You answer, ah, you will not allow my foot to be moved. You will not allow my foot to be moved. And as she was trying to go ahead, she couldn't go ahead. You will not allow my foot to be moved. Say, what is this? She says, you will not allow my foot to be moved. Say, yes! Ah! She went back to the hospital. The doctor says, are you ready for surgery? I said, no, doctor, I'm not doing surgery again. He said, ah, your leg, that place, we infect the others. If you don't cut it away. He said, no, the Bible said that you will not allow my foot to be moved. You will not allow my foot to be moved. The, I said, are you crazy? I said, see, this thing will infect. He said, no, God said my foot will not be moved. And she took that word. And everything that was an infection in the leg dried off, and every abnormality became corrected in the leg back again. Because she held on to the word. In the actual context of that word, it was when Jesus Christ was going to jump from the mountain and say, maybe they have said that the angels will guide you. that you will not dash your foot against the stone, you will not allow your foot to be moved. But when she was reading it, she read beyond the logos. She crossed into the rhema, and the rhema was that even my physical legs will not be moved. She saw that from the pages of the scripture. What is responsible for some of this breakthrough is in the Bible, but because you will never open it, how will you find it? How will you find it? Your destiny is in the word. Your finances is in the word. Your breakthrough is in the word. Your healing is in the word. Your tomorrow is in the word. Your anointing and graces is in the word. Your purpose, for some of you are yet to discover, is in the word. You must pay attention to what has written and spoken concerning your destiny. God is not one that only plans where you arrive. He already planned about your life before you came here. You must go back to the manual to find out what he had written aforetime before, concerning your life. Mission words have a truth, changing me and changing you. We have come, oh, let the mission words impart. Holy word, long preserve. Ha, come on, sing, church.
This world,
amen.
Here we stand with God above, for ever
ancient words, ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We open up, oh, let the ancient word be. I like the first verse of the song. It says, holy words, long preserved. Long preserved. You are not an afterthought. The Bible says that God has you engraved on the palm of his hands. How can you be engraved on the palm of God's hands and he doesn't have a plan for you? Your future is already secured, but you see, the devil can cheat you out of your future you don't know. Yes. He can cheat out of the future you don't know. A provision for healing can be made for you, but because you don't take time to visit the word, you can remain sick. A provision for your breakthrough, for your financial liberation, can be made available for you, but because of ignorance, you can remain in penury. And God won't be kept at fault for that. God won't be held responsible for your penury. He already made it available. Be a student of God's word. Be a student of the word. When the word comes, the Bible is a compendium of four things. Number one, when you study the word, you find revelations in the word of God. Revelation, apocalypse. Revelations from the word. Number two, you find knowledge in the word, epignosis. Epignosis is found in the word. That means if you are hunting for knowledge, you are starting to know about something you never knew before. Epignosis is found in the word. Number one, that's revelation. You can see things deeper than what was initially written. Number three, the prophetia, prophetic words, what God has said about your future. You can go hunting and find it out. And the last one is didache, teaching. God can teach you things from the scriptures. Teach you precepts, teach you inventions from the scriptures. So when you read the Bible, these four things are readily available to you at every point in time. Revelation is available, knowledge is available, prophetic was available, teaching is available to you at every point in time when you study the scriptures. You trivialize it because you don't know what you carry in your hand. It is what has made men in ages past emerge as mighty men. Men who were peasants, when we were lowly, who looked at them, their future was nowhere to be found. Those men arose because a word came to them. A word came to them. You can stake your life on the word of God. You can't exalt dreams beyond the word of God. You cannot exalt what one prophet said above the word of God. Like I always funny share, that one day we are entering into GT Bank in Akpaki, and one person just walked up to my wife and said, "Hey, sister, can I see you?" Say, "What happened?" He said, "I just want to tell you something, that please don't be wearing black again. Black does not look good with your destiny." The destiny of my wife is greater than all of her. How will you be equating my wife's destiny with black? She has worn black over and over again, and she keeps glowing and glowing over and over again. So, but some people, once they hear such words, they will just run into disarray. Everything black in their wardrobe, they go and burn it. As though that is what defines your destiny. See, make sure that you are equipping yourself with the necessary tools that will make you stand out as a child of God. Your tomorrow is bright, but what is the point of a tomorrow that is bright, even if the person does not even know about it? Or when the person does not know about it, what's the point of that tomorrow? You will be cheated when you don't know the word. You'll be cheated. Let me round up and find somewhere to close so that we can close in due time. When you study the word, what happens is like a process of impregnation. It comes through intimacy. That as you read the word of God, the word is implanted into your spirit. But you see, those words don't just enter your spirit because they want to. Those words enter your spirit because you have spent time with the word. You know, when we were growing up, we used to hear our mother say to the ladies, "Don't let anybody touch you. Don't let any guy touch you." We say, once they touch you, what will happen? I know they told some of you too. So once they touch you, say, get pregnant. So every handshake is pregnancy. Every hug, pregnancy. You sit beside a guy in your class, and that's the only seat left. If you're not sandwiched between two of them, you have twins. But is that how it happens? There must be intimacy. There must be a spending of time for that word to enter you. And you see, when that word enters your heart, that does not mean that that's the day you will give birth. Is that it? You must begin to nurture that word until the day that word will be given birth to. And you cannot see a physical manifestation of what was told, was what happened 9 months ago. That's how the word comes. That's how the word works. So you must make sure that you find the seed of God's word, and it must be planted in your heart. What word are you running with today that is the guarantee for your future? If they ask you, what guarantees that your tomorrow is going to be fruitful? What is your guarantee? What is your title deed? Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I love the way the Message translation puts it. It says, faith is the title deed, meaning that it is a written document about what you will still possess later in the future. So if they ask you, what is your guarantee that your tomorrow is going to be better? I will not say because I had a dream. I will not say because my mother told me that when I was born, rain fell. I will not tell anybody because one day God appeared to me in fire and in the rain. I will tell them Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts and the plans that he has towards me. Thoughts of good. Thoughts of good. No evil comes into it. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give me a future and a hope. To give me a future and a hope. So based on this, I stand here to declare to you, because dreams can fail, Prophecies can fail, but one thing standeth sure forever: the word of God can never fail. If somebody comes to you with a prophecy that negates what the Bible says, stand your ground on the word of God. That is the truth at every point in time. It never changes. It never changes. Some people have walked up to you and told you prophetic things, and then you'll be running etta skeeter. Some of you go to bed at night, you have a dream, and then you wake up and you see something. And then after you have that dream, you are running and calling, say, "Pastor, I saw this dream. Pastor, I did that." As good as it sounds, that is not the definition of your future. Your future is held in the hands of the Lord. You can take the word of God and superimpose it over every dream that you had. You can take the word of God and cancel every negative thing any prophet said. Because the word of God is final. The word of God is final. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. Who has the final say? The word of God has the final say. Not my family background. My tomorrow is secure. My future, my destiny is secure. Why do I believe so? The word of God says it, and I believe it, and that settles it. I will say this again, maybe for the third time. You cannot blame God for what he already wrote concerning you that you never cared to find out. Some people in some years' time, I pray that will not be your testimony, but in some years' time, you will look back and say, "God, but you told you, well, God, I've been going to judge myself." And God says, what exactly is the anchor? What is the anchor for all these things you believe? Some people, they'll be sick and they'll say, "God, I know that your word says I will not be sick. Where was it written? How was it written? God, I shall know that you said I will not be sick. I shall know that you said I will not be sick. Did God say you will not be sick?" Did he say you'll not be sick? It says by his stripes. You see how sometimes we quote the scriptures amiss. There's a provision for a life without sickness. But you that have not even been able to claim healing, not to not claim perfect health. Every of those levels are in the Bible. At least start working it up. Start working it up. Start working it up. Take the Bible like medicine. Take the Bible like food. 3 times daily. You eat by the morning, you take 1 dose of the Bible. You eat rice in the afternoon, take 1 dose of rice. You eat spaghetti in the night, take 3 strands of the word of God. One day. I just remembered an illustration, but I don't have the facilities to do that illustration. Let me take the last one. Number 3. How do you get a hold of your tomorrow? Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Number 3 is the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about 3 ways to behold correctly. Number 1, set eye vantage points. That's through prayer. Number 2 is through study and meditation on the Word of God. And number 3 is through the voice of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those ones are the sons of God." Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2. Says, "Then the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet and spoke with me and said to me, shut yourself inside the house. Look at the process of what is going on here. Number one, what happened to him? The Spirit entered him. Number two, the Spirit spoke to him. Number three, what did he do? Set him on his feet. And number four, what did he do to him again? Spoke to him again. Chapter 3, verse 24 of that same Ezekiel. Okay, I was reading chapter 3, verse 24. Chapter 2, verse 2 says, the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet. And I heard him who spoke to me. That's chapter 2, verse 2. Now go to chapter 3, verse 24. He says, then the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet and spoke with me and said to me, go shut yourself inside your house. For sake of time, we will not keep reading everything. But you see, this occurrence that happened to the prophet Ezekiel was what set the pace for the prophetic destiny of Israel that they began to see. From this point, as the Holy Ghost entered into him and began to speak and he began to see the current state of the children of Israel. When you get to Ezekiel chapter 37, you will see that there. Is it chapter 37 now? Yes. You're going to see the prophet destiny of Israel. And he saw the whole nation of Israel. The Bible says, and the valley was filled with dry bones. Followed it. Ezekiel saw a valley filled with dry bones. But you see, based on the perspective of the Holy Spirit, that was not to be their perpetual state. Your life can look in a certain way presently, and the breath of the Almighty can come and bring dead things, dead thoughts, dead future back to life. I don't know if there's somebody here that your future looks bleak because of a certain occurrence in your past, and you are already writing yourself off, telling yourself you have no future. You must come and allow the Holy Spirit enter into you to show you that even when the bones are dead, they can still come back to life. So God said to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live again? It was beyond the things that Ezekiel could imagine. His response was that, Lord, know this kind. I have heard about miracles. I have heard about parting of the Red Sea. I have read about the dead of the dead. But when bones are dried, and they are not only dried, but they are also scattered, how do you go and gather the skull of Tamuna and go and join with his leg? How do you identify bones without flesh that give them structure, that give them a picture to behold? Skulls all look the same. It's hard to detect whose skull is what. Say, Lord, only you know. The Bible said, and God told Ezekiel, he said, son of man, speak to the four corners of the earth and command. Somebody will need to go back again and say, you know what? I command things to begin to work again for me, and my future begins to open up by the Spirit of the Lord. Say, command the four winds from the four corners of the earth and tell them to enter into this bone. That was, and when he said that and that happened, that says, and then there was a rumbling sound, and then bone began to come to bone. Your future that was already broken began to look like it again. Men that have left your life began to find you again. Days that have been lost began to restore. Kids that have been lost began to come back again, because the Spirit of the Lord will begin to brood again over your life and let me to show you it is possible. He did not leave them in a state of just bones alone. And he said, command that flesh covers them. And when he commanded, he said, and sinews began to cover them up once again. Sinews. He said, and flesh came upon them. Bible says, and they arose as an exceeding great and mighty army. Ha, that is what happens to you when you give the Holy Spirit a chance to begin to show you what is possible with your life. I know things may look dry now, but I tell you, they can live again. You may look like you are graduating with somebody with a result that is already depicting failure, but I tell you, your future can still be bright. It can still be bright. That you just allow the Holy Spirit to brood over your life. You allow it to brood and to breathe upon your life and show you the possibilities. James chapter 1 and verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord was brooding upon the face of the earth. Upon the face of the earth, he is doing a problem analysis. He's checking what is wrong with this guy now. We need to do damage control. We need to repair what has been damaged. And he began to brood. Allow the Holy Ghost to begin to brood upon your life once again, and let him show you a picture. Because when you allow him, verse 3 will tell you, and God said, let there be light. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you that picture. No matter how your mess looks like, allow him to work upon it. No matter how things have been damaged, don't worry, he's the master repairer. He can change things for you. He can. I know you may be scared, worrying about tomorrow. I know you may be living in perpetual fear, but you see, you are not without counsel. You are not without a word. You are not left helpless as though there is no way out for you. God has given you a way out. You must go back to leverage upon what he has made as provisions for you. Back to the scripture where we started. Isaiah 43 verse 18. I want to read it in Message version. And after that, you prepare 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 for me. Isaiah 43 verse 18 and 19. I'm reading it in the Message translation. Do you have it on the screen? You have it on the screen? Message translation. Give me Message translation. I want everybody to read it together. Are you ready? Now, 1, 2, 3, let's go. Verse 19.
Tears
are making the fruit and rivers in it. Says, don't you see it? Forget about all these three. That's how your tomorrow will be. Forget about those that are in the past. Forget about all these three. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. And I'll be wrapping up here. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. It says, that's why we have these scriptures tests. Let's read together, everybody want to go? No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like this. What God has arranged for those who love him. Do you know what it means for God to arrange something? That you may be thinking that you will never get a job, and God will arrange a man that owns the company that will not even bother to look at your certificate, and he will arrange that man that one day you will just knock on his office because somebody sent you an errand, and the man will ask you, what are you doing? Say, you don't have a job. Don't worry, there's an opening now. Your CV, don't worry, you didn't bring it today. Don't worry, you just start today, you can submit it later. He can arrange it for you. What did I say? He can arrange it for you. See what God has arranged for those who love him. He can arrange your destiny. He can arrange your helpers. He can arrange your results. He can arrange your life. He can arrange your spouse. He can arrange the person that will propose to you. He can arrange the person that will love you the way you are. He is the master arranger. He can arrange it. So I bring this word of comfort to somebody here. God has you in mind. God has you in mind. God has you in mind. Just pray 1 minute and say, Father, I thank you for this revelation. I thank you because I know that you are mindful of me. I thank you because I know that my life is in your hands. I thank you. I thank you. That how I am looking now is not what determines my future. I thank you. I thank you for the great and mighty things you have prepared for me. Come on, somebody give God thanks properly. I thank you. Because I know that my destiny is not in somebody else's hands. It's in God's hands. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate him for this word because you know that your future is secure. Appreciate him. That is mindful of you. Tell him thank you for what he has prepared for you as his child. Tell him thank you. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you because my life is in your hands. Thank you because what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered into the heart of man, you have prepared for myself, for Sam Tayo and his family, because we love you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Hope is entering somebody once again. Faith is entering somebody once again. Somebody here is daring to believe God once again for what looks like it was over. Because God's got you. God has got you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Can we celebrate Jesus together for this world?